Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. This week, I'll be interviewing Greg McHugh.
Actor, writer, that bloke off that thing. You know. What's name? Picture frame, leather goods, Trevor Francis tracksuits, bush, 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 bush. Greg McHugh, welcome to Inside the Comedian.
Thank you. Thank you. That bloke off that thing, that is very, very brave.
do you feel you've elevated yourself above that bloke off that thing?
No. But yes, of course I have. I'm here to talk serious. It is serious, this, isn't it?
This is right. The most serious programme on the internet.
Good.
It's as yet to be on television.
Right.
Because they just have to animate the whole thing, and that would be very expensive.
That would be very expensive unless you do it in... I think it's cheaper if you do it in... Saudi Arabia.
Is that right? I think animation capital of the world, Saudi Arabia.
It is, yeah. It's
the Simpsons is all done there, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I think it is, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I don't know all about animation, David.
Well, why don't you get out the way what you don't know about, and then we'll move on to what you do. What else don't you know about?
It was just Saudi Arabian animation.
Right, okay, that's all,
it.
That's your only...
All other bases we can go for.
Right, so... Then you should come on my pub quiz team, because I've got Saudi Arabia animation covered. And you could cover everything else.
Well, where is it held?
Well, it's in Saudi Arabia.
It's it? Is that yeah, where it's held?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, what's
you
the name of
must try the pubs in Saudi Arabia. They're wonderful.
I've heard they're...
The Irish pubs in particular are wonderful.
It's quite an exciting night out, I can
it
imagine.
It really is, yeah.
And what's the name of your pub team?
We are called Quizlamic Jihad.
Oh.
Goes down very well in Saudi Arabia. They love that. You were born in Edinburgh, which, for those who aren't familiar, is a city in the EU. Now, were you aware of the Edinburgh Festival as a small boy?
I was, yes. I was very aware of it. I was very aware of tourists getting on buses, which, you know, it can be, you know, it's great for the...
Irritating.
Well, it is irritating, but you've got to be very careful now that I don't come across as some kind of bigoted moron. But there was a certain joy in seeing, say, tourists ask a bus driver if they go, you know, in whatever... What PC language could I choose to do the imitation accent of? You choose.
English.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome.
Excuse me. Do you go to Princess Street?
And the driver going, I'm a 14 pal, I go on the Leith Walk, so you're big on a 21 and a 33, come on, I'm saying.
And they go, oh my God, this is such a mistake.
You know, that's the kind of thing I enjoyed, seeing the pain of the tourist.
Now, you didn't start out wanting to be a performer, did you?
When I was born.
Well, obviously when you were born. I mean, very few babies, the umbilical cord is cut, and they go, to be... or whatever babies talk about.
Not early doors.
What did you want to be early doors? When you were a small child, you know, people want to be an astronaut or a fireman or a dragon or some kind of desk.
What to be a footballer.
A footballer?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're quite a masculine boy, a rough tumble boy. Rough and tumble, not rough.
But I just really liked football, yeah. No, right. I think that's why I probably wasn't good enough. I wasn't really rough and tumbly enough. Oh, and also not good enough at football. That's the other key issue.
Right.
But no, I wouldn't say I was massively rough and
born
tumble.
Born in Scotland.
Yeah.
The opportunities aren't great, right?
They're not. But I think is that borderline kind of slight xenophobia racism that automatically you can't be good? We've had good footballers.
I'm not suggesting you can't be a good footballer. It was more a comment of opportunity, which is a sort of blanket comment about the whole country.
I like that, because it is only due to opportunity that I'm now not a footballer.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Awesome.
That's right. It was opportunity.
Yeah, it was opportunity.
Yeah. But football, you abandoned football ultimately.
Yeah.
In favour of performance.
Yeah.
Which is what you're doing now.
Yes. Yeah, I am. I'm doing very important work in the performance field.
Yes.
So
who were your icons growing up in the world of performing? Yeah, who did you see and you go, I want to emulate that?
It'd be silly not to do the stereotype and say Billy Connolly. But yeah, but I saw Billy Connolly doing stuff and I thought, oh, that's quite good.
On stage or just sort of round and about town?
No, just through other people's versions of him. And I thought, that's very impressive. And so I kind of got an intrigue into that. And then actually, when I was playing football, oddly, the first thing I ever did was an impression of one of the dads of the team when we went away to a Blackpool football competition. And I did the impression of the dad, and he took great offence at it.
And that's when you thought, this is for me.
Genuinely, I thought that's quite interesting, isn't it? A grown man and a 12-year-old boy doing this impression of him, and he got really annoyed at it.
So it was a power trip, really. You wanted to make grown men cry.
Yeah, a little bit, because I wasn't very good at football. So that's probably where that came from, yeah. Maybe.
Right. Although, ironically, someone who isn't very good at football can make grown men cry simply by being bad at sort of passing or scoring goals.
Yeah, it was a double whammy with
double
me.
Whammy.
Absolutely,
just the constant disappointment of making grown men cry from the off.
Well, yeah, I'm not obsessed by making grown men cry. This is becoming a little bit creepy on the grown men cry from my own kids.
Well, I guess saw a sort of theme in your childhood.
Yeah, well, maybe there is a bit of that, and hence why becoming a performer and that neediness is probably a massive part of that. I'm getting quite emotional.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll pull back. You trained. Am I ready? You trained as a performer.
Mm.
Like, I mean, you really buckled down and learnt your craft with a sort of rigour and focus that very few performers even get close to. I mean, how do you hide that so well?
I think I hide it so well because I've tried so hard.
Right.
Yeah, and the minute you try too hard, it just becomes slightly redundant, doesn't it? So I think it was from trying so hard and training so hard and doing so many different things that I've managed to just become that guy who's kind of known but not known for very many things.
Right, so you've really managed to corner a market that nobody else wants.
Yes,
right.
Yeah. And I'm excelling.
You're excelling in that.
Yeah.
So really, you may have focused and tried hard and worked hard,
yeah,
but in entirely the wrong direction. You were facing the corner of the room instead of out to the audience or whatever, and that's a...
I mean, David, I can only hope that is the case.
It sounds like you're painting a tragic story of yourself.
Yeah.
Do you think that's true? I see you as a success story, personally.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's good. It's kind of slightly contradictory to all the other things you've said, but absolutely, a success story of a man facing the wrong side of the room.
Right, right. Oh, that's good. That's good. I mean, I don't know if my audience knows, but Greg is a phenomenally huge star. I don't know if anyone knows this, but he's a phenomenally big star. I mean, he had a smash hit show in Scotland, which none of us will have seen because it was in Scotland. They have their own channel. That's very nice, isn't it? But it was massive, absolutely massive, in Orkney and some parts of Mull.
It was particularly big in Mull.
Massive in Mull.
Yeah,
massive in Mull.
In Mull. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you tour Mull often?
I used to. We don't get the tickets these days.
No, until the puff-in population dwindled.
Absolutely, but they were a very reliable crowd for a while.
Absolutely, always
big
there.
Big shout-out to Mull, by the way.
We get a shout-out to Mull every episode on this. Every episode. But no, you were in a massive show. It was hugely successful, and as I say, in Scotland. So what was that like, being suddenly famous in your home country?
Well, I do get asked this.
Right.
And what's it like to work with Jack Whitehall? They're the two main questions.
They're the two main questions.
But the show was called Gary Tank Commander.
Gary Tank Commander.
Yeah, it was a very complicated title to lure people in.
Yes.
Yeah. The show was called Gary Tank Commander, and it was about a soldier called Gary who was a tank commander.
He wasn't called Gary Tank and he was a commander.
No, and he also wasn't called Gary the Tank Commander, which people say, which not down here obviously, or in this room.
No, no one's ever mentioned.
No, I know. So Gary Tank Commander.
Gary Tank Commander.
Yeah, big in Mull and some other regional parts of Scotland.
Well, they were very wise to give Mull televisions.
They were.
Just for the boost it gave to the numbers.
Anyway, so Gary was about the war. So I was keen to, you know, we all know how funny war is. And I was keen to kind of capitalise on that.
Right. So Dad's army had finished.
Yeah.
We need a new Dad's army.
Yeah.
But what if instead of old men,
yeah,
it was you?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Pretty much.
You were the only person in it.
Yeah, well, not the only person in it, but certainly the most written. The other part,
the only one with words.
Yes.
The only one with words.
Pretty much for most of the show, yes.
Yes.
So, no, that was very, very nice, and it's always a pleasure to get so famous.
Right, right. And you actually played arenas to 40, 50, 60,000 people.
We played to 30,000 people, yes.
Right. And do you think 30,000 seater football stadiums are the natural home of live comedy?
It didn't matter to us. We were just there having fun, selling fraudulent tickets. That's what we did.
Fraudulent tickets?
Oh, yeah, because there was a
you
game going on.
You were touting it, you're saying. Yeah. There was a game going on.
We did it as a kind of storm the pitch. Tried to do a bit of a show, and then we managed to build something of a reputation on the back of that, you see.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
So do you think there's a future in storming football games in order to...
do a theatrical performance?
I mean, I think football fans, deep down, what they're really craving is theatre.
I think they are. I think monologues at half-time could be a massive thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you be up for it? Would you be willing to perform in that kind of arena?
I'd love to spoil the fun of thousands of men who've specifically spent their hard-earned wages on football tickets in order to bring them some bloody culture. I'd love to.
I think it's needed and you're needed.
I think so. I mean, what sort of thing? Maybe do some Pinter for them or some...
I'd do a lot of the pauses from Pinter. I think that would get... I'd do a collection of pauses from Pinter.
Highlights reel.
For the punters. We'd call it Pinter Pauses Punters.
Already it's...
With pies.
With pies.
Pinter Pauses, pies, punters.
I think that would be incredibly popular.
Yes.
And slowly they would ease out the pauses, the punters, and the Pinter, until only pies remained.
And which stadium would you choose to do it at? What team should we do this at?
Who are the most sort of in need of theatre, do you think?
Millwall.
Millwall. Yes. Well, we'll do it there.
Well, let's do it.
At Millwall Stadium.
At the Millwall Stadium.
As it's called, I'm
As
sure.
As it's called.
I'm sure it's called that.
If you'd like to see Inside the Comedian recorded live... our next show is on Thursday, the 11th of July, at King's Place Theatre in London, where I'll be interviewing Lucy Porter and Richard Herring. Tickets are now on sale from kingsplace.co.uk.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So the weather.
Yes.
I hear you've got an anecdote about the weather.
I do, David. I left the house and it was warm.
Right.
No, it was cold. Oh, can I start that again?
No, you can't.
Oh, no.
Going back.
No.
This is live.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I left the house and it was cold.
Right.
Okay, and then I put on a heavy jacket. And then
to warm yourself up.
To warm myself up.
And then this evening it got cold again, so I'm all right. But actually during the day, for a part of it, I was too warm. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming down.
He always ends on this. It's an absolute banker. It's an absolute banker. He'll bring down... But the thing is, you've done it on Graham Norton now, so everyone's seen the clip.
I know.
That's my impression of the story.
That my impression of... oh, no. What's his name? Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, I did my impression of Tom Hiddleston.
He's coming on this show next
month. Is he?
Yes, yes.
Oh, good.
Not a comedian, but I couldn't persuade him of that. He said, I'll do it anyway.
Well, he's very good, actually. He is very
incredibly good,
good
isn't
he? He is very good. I saw him do a 5 at the Albany. He was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, he was very, very strong.
What did he talk about?
Himself. It was a very strong set.
I'm amazed he stopped after 5.
No, I should see that. He's very, very good.
Is he a close personal friend?
Yeah. I call him T.
Because it's his first name.
No.
His name is T.
No, he loves T, but only I know that because I know him so well.
Okay. You do know him so well.
Okay.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. You must have celebrity friends now with you being a celebrity.
Yeah, I do. Loads. David Walliams.
Where? I'm going to see. Sorry. Yes. Who else do you know?
Barry Cryer.
Barry Cryer?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
is he as much of a fuck machine as everyone says?
Yeah, he's great. And I also know a lot of the early cast... of the Golden Girls.
The early cast?
Yeah.
Before the reboot?
Not the main girls, but some of the other guys
see.
From that. Yeah.
Right, not the girls. You don't know the Golden Girls.
You know, I used to live where they used to film it.
Scotland?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, we mentioned that.
Yeah, we did. Sorry, yeah. And they were saying as well how hot it had been when they were out in a thin jacket.
Right.
They were okay, and then they put a heavier jacket on all three of them, fur ones, because that's what they were into.
You're getting the anecdote out again. I can see. You're doing it through the Golden Girls, but I can hear it.
Yeah, famous friends. It's what makes you feel good.
What's Sean Connery really like?
He's very, very... He's a very quick talker, and it's quite hard to follow sometimes. And he's actually Irish as well. He's been
is that right?
Yeah, yeah, he is. So the Scottish accent, he's been doing very, very well. It's just other accents he can't do, but his Scottish accent is actually superb.
So that's the one he's famous for?
Yeah,
he
exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Although in Highlander, he had a particularly authentic Egyptian
accent. Yeah. Yes, but an Egyptian who'd hung around Spaniards quite a lot. It was very subtle what he was doing.
It was very subtle.
Very subtle.
The whole film's very subtle.
Very subtle. I love that film.
I love that film. There could be only two. It was a very clever film.
Would you take the part of Conor McLeod if they remade Highlander today?
Yes, I would.
Not today. I mean, you're busy today. There's not much of today left. This is the evening. But if they were to make it tomorrow or, you know, next week.
Yeah. I think I definitely would.
How's your sword play?
It's middling.
Middling?
Yeah, but then they sort that out for you on the set. They get people in to get you up to speed, so by the end of it, you'd be amazing at swording.
I hear mostly they get professional swordsmen, fencers, to just put their arms under your arms, through your armpits, and do the sword fighting that way.
Yeah, that is actually true, because I've done quite a lot of stunts with other stuntmen. And they do that for driving as well.
That's right, for driving and punching.
You're not sitting on a seat, you're sitting on a stuntman driving.
That's right, you are. And if you're having a fight, the stuntman's doing most of the legs and arms.
Yes.
You're just a torso and a head strapped to a man. And they remove his head and torso in post. It's why, if you look closely in most stunt fights, the arms and legs are about half a foot behind the body.
They are. That's right. But it's such an amazing industry.
Incredible industry. Incredible industry. The magic we get to see.
Yes.
Now, Greg McHugh, I've asked the good people of Twitter if they have any questions for you about your career.
Yes, of course.
I hope you'll indulge me to read some of these out. And if by any means you don't want to answer any, then tough. So this is from at Runny Bread Egg, and they say, do you regret making that film about Hitler?
No. I just think there had to be another option, another view.
Some things needed to be said.
You know, I am a keen fan of playing empathy in all my roles, and that's what I did in that film.
But you also, I feel, showed there was empathy on both sides by playing everyone in the film.
Yes, well... But the stunts were particularly difficult.
They were, but I have to say, the D-Day scene was incredible with you playing everyone, especially since you had stuntmen doing all your arms and legs.
I did. One of the most challenging scenes on that D-Day arrival was on the boat where I had to play a number of the soldiers.
It's 24, I believe.
Yeah, it was. But I was also playing the water. and that made it even more complicated. But in the end, I think we'll all agree it was a film.
It was a film. Undeniably, it was a film. So, at Clive Loves Five Alive writes, when will we finally see you on Strictly? I know for a fact you've got the pins for it.
I can't actually say, but it's looking really something.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think you can go all the way?
I think, yes.
Do the first episode?
I think I will. I think I will, actually.
Will you?
Yes.
That's
you know, I write it.
You write Strictly? I didn't know that. No, I didn't.
You didn't know that. Right.
I didn't know that. That must be immensely rewarding.
It is. It's immense. I mean, it's very, very difficult work, and a lot of it is physical comedy. So
how much detail do you write in the dances?
A huge amount.
Right.
But, do you know what I'm most proud of in that show?
What?
The seating plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because many people just give that to a runner or something.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
It shows.
No,
shows
you're looking at the showrunner here, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm all over it. I'm every single part of that show, from the presenters, both played by... you know, people of small opportunity in society,
right?
And I'm responsible for that,
right?
Them a chance, so I'm very proud, man.
Well, it now feels like you'd be cheating by writing it and performing on it. I mean, you can't write yourself as the winner, can you?
I can either confirm. And I'm definitely not going to deny.
Right. Okay. At Elk Disaster writes, what's your favourite kind of litter? I like it when you find a broken key or discarded glove, as they seem to tell some kind of magical story. Also condoms. What's your favourite kind of litter?
I once walked across a bridge in Edinburgh.
Yes.
And a bin bag...
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, you know, I did. Okay. It was years ago. When
years
I could,
ago now.
You know,
a young man.
Yeah, a young man. And I walked across a bridge in Edinburgh, and a bin bag, which was soaking wet... flew up in my face and enveloped my whole face. And it was horrible. It was horrible.
It's a powerful image.
But for a moment...
What was the moisture?
It was so wet around my ears. That was the thing I always remember. That the bin bag, you know, your face isn't so bad. It was the wetness and the
plastic. Thank you very much. But the wetness around the ear, was it dew? Was it rainwater? Was it something else?
No, it was probably a combination. Yeah, it was probably all the bad stuff. But it whipped around in that Edinburgh wind because we were on the bridge, on the North Bridge. That it just whipped up in my face, and it felt like all encompassing. But actually, for a moment. It kind of slightly dulled the traffic noise, and it was perfect.
You were walking in traffic at the time?
Yes, I was.
That sounds incredibly dangerous.
I was. I was pitching my latest short film during the festival.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
My word. Well, that sounds disgusting. How long was your head in a bin bag for?
I think it felt like about a year, but it turned out only to be a week.
Right. Well, thank God they managed to get it off, ultimately.
They did, ultimately. It was a bit like the scene in Alien. It was not easy.
No, and ultimately your stomach would burst after breakfast.
It would, with another bin bag.
My God, with a subtly different bin bag.
Yeah.
That then just crawls off across the floor.
Because it's a Scottish bin bag, really slowly.
It's a specific cultural reference. You won't know this, but Scottish bin bags are very slow. Now, at Hayley358159 writes... how do you sleep at night? Oh, that's nice. So, bedtime routine. What's your bedtime routine?
I watch Highlanders 2 through to 5.
Not the first one?
No. I'll skip that till the middle of the night if I can't sleep.
Okay.
And then eventually I'll just read some of the local pamphlets that have been through the door that day.
Right. So, sort of pizzas, kebabs, sort of churches, that sort of thing.
No, appeal-based.
Oh, you clearly live in a nicer area than me.
Yeah, so I'll read some of that, and then once I've read it, I know I don't need to do anything about it.
Right, of course.
Then I can sleep.
You just go, Amnesty have benefited from me knowing about them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Probably tweet about it.
Maybe. And you know what? Prisoners of tyrannical regimes love when they get tweeted about.
They do. And pub quizzes.
It's why they do it.
That's right.
They do. They love pub quizzes, don't they?
They do. I can't wait to join your team.
Oh, well, you'd be most welcome.
What was it called again?
The Quizlamit you had.
Oh, well done.
I was too proud of it to forget that. At Trapped in a Tweet Farm Please Help writes, where do you find all your hilarious suits?
I didn't...
I didn't realise I had lots of hilarious suits.
Yeah, you're famous for your ridiculous clothing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well,
is that not intentional?
No, it wasn't actually. But I mean, if they're funny.
I mean, you're a laughing stock, a national laughing stock.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm making people happy even through what I wear.
Not happy, but you're bringing them together through ridiculing of a third party, i.e., you.
Right.
Right.
Well, win-win. And
they might find happiness.
Yeah.
They might just hit each other. Who knows? But they're together.
Yeah. Well, it's an eclectic bunch of suits made from some of the finest. Finest yarns I could find.
Oh, you just find them. It must take a long time to find enough yarn for a suit.
It does. But in the end, it's turned out that all that effort's been worth it.
It has been. I mean, trapped in a tweet farm, please help, has really noticed.
Well, if it's been picked up on, it's all good, isn't it?
It is all good. Yeah. It's all good. At Ropey Old Todds writes, will you be in my film school graduation film? It's about a vampire with amnesia who's forgotten they're the Prime Minister and also a wasp. And then they've just written tasteful nudity.
I actually just did one last week, just like that, so
really?
I can't do a second. Yeah.
Really? Just yeah. Too similar?
A little bit too similar.
You don't want to be up for the same award with two films?
Not really, wouldn't be comfortable with that.
What was the film you were just doing?
It was called Wasp Farm Man.
Wasp Farm Man?
Yeah.
Was the punctuation in that? Because it seemed like there was one thing.
There's dashes and semicolons.
Right, okay. That's confusing.
Because they really want
Wasp
the audience.
Wasp Farm, semicolon man.
Yes.
Right, that's very weird.
That's right.
What's it about?
Well, it's about a man who tries to start a wasp farm.
Right.
But he's never done it before.
He
just he lost his job in Debenhams. It's very, it's kind of odd, actually.
So it's a sort of social commentary piece.
Yeah, it's kind of social commentary, prophetic piece. And anyway, he goes and buys a piece of land.
Are you man?
I don't want to show you.
Okay.
He buys a piece of land that he can't really afford, and he doesn't know what he's doing with the wasps. And then instantly he realizes that the land was too much money. He'd paid too much for it.
Right.
He'd bought not enough wasps.
How many do you need for a wasp farm?
you need thousands.
Right. Is there a queen?
Yes.
Wasp? There's one.
Yeah, there's
queen.
A massive queen wasp. Yeah.
What? How big is a queen wasp?
It's huge.
Really?
It's really big.
Like the size of a farm?
No. That would be ridiculous.
That would be.
That could be hectares.
You're right. I mean, a farm isn't a determinate size, is it?
Well, it's not. Have you got that on a farm?
No.
No.
Like, is it the size of a barn?
No, they're much smaller.
A dog?
Listen, I don't want to ruin the ending.
Oh, it's the end. I'm sorry. You were giving me the signs that I was getting close to spoilers.
Well, yeah.
There's a queen wasp that
there
exists.
There is a queen wasp.
Fine. And he ultimately...
dies.
Oh, that is a social commentary.
It is. It's very sad. He's just taken on too much. It's a story for all of us not to lose hope. But also not to take on too much.
Two very powerful messages. Don't lose hope, but don't take on too much.
Yeah.
Because in a way, we're all wasp farm man.
You pronounced that particularly well.
Thank you. Well, I listened to what you said.
Thank you.
Greg McHugh, thank you for letting me inside you.
Hi.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, your host, David Reed. If you've enjoyed the show, then please help us spread the word by following @InsideComedian on Twitter.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.